The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasser Brightly, Jr.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
This is Lasser Brightly, Jr., inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace.
My span of life will soon be done, the passing moments say. As lengthening shadows o'er the beam, proclaim the close of day. Oh, that my heart might dwell aloof from the created things, and learn that wisdom from above, whence true contentment springs. Courage, my soul, the bitter cross in every trial here shall point thee to thy hand above, but shall not enter there. Thus dying ones and humbly seek in sorrowing paths below, shall in eternity rejoice where endless comforts flow. Crosses in number, measure, weight were written, Lord, for me. But Thou, my Shepherd, Friend, and Guide, hast led me kindly on, taught me to rest my fainting head on Christ the So comforted and so sustained, with dark events I strove, and found them rightly understood, all messengers of love. With silent and submissive awe,
I hope you will take time to write us this week and let us know that you've listened, and if you can help us with the expense of the program to keep it on the air, we'll certainly be thankful for that. Our address is Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217.
Lift me up above the shadows, plant my feet on higher ground. Lift me up above the clouds, Lord, where the pure sunshine is found. Lift me up above my weakness, lift me up into thy strength. Lift me up above the shadows, till I stand with thee at length. Lift me up above the shadows, above the shadow of the shadows. Lift me up and let me stand, and let me stand, and let me stand on the mountain. My blessed Savior, let me to thy bosom fly. There no evil thing can touch me, O Word on the shining side. Lift me up above the shadows, let me evermore abide. Lift me up above the shadows, above the shadow of the shadows. Lift me up and let me stand, and let me stand, and let me stand.
trials, out of sorrow into joy. Lift me up above my grief, Lord, give me gold for my alloy. Then when death has claimed my spirit and the storms of life are past, lift me up above the shadows till in heaven I stand at last. Lift me up above the shadows, above the shadows.
Today we bring you the second part of a message entitled, The Joy of Restoration. The text is Joel chapter 2, verse 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Now, although the text speaks of the judgment that had come upon the people, there is great joy to consider the fact that he says, I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. So we first considered last time the day of trouble. And I well understand that if somebody heard the title of the message, The Joy of Restoration, they wouldn't have felt that there was very much joy in that first section. But before there can be joy of restoration, there has to be an acknowledgement that we need restoration. So we come before the Lord admitting our faults, failures, our great need of forgiveness, and can then receive the joy of restoration. So we secondly went on to look at the need to seek the Lord and describe some of that experience. And then today, we finally get to that which is in our subject, the joy of restoration. So he says, when you find yourself in one of these difficult situations, if it's just a matter that you are one of many who are suffering the consequences of the invasion, such as it was from these locusts, or it's a personal experience of your own spiritual struggle and the difficulties in your own life, whatever it is, remember that you must seek the Lord, turn to Him with all your heart. Makes us think of the summary that Jesus gave of the commandment, saying, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Well, and then we go to Psalm 51. Where David is specifically seeking the Lord because of his great sin, his terrible downfall. Psalm 51, verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. He's acknowledged two things there. One is that God is full of love and kindness and an abundance of tender mercies. And secondly, he's acknowledging his transgression. Blot out my transgressions, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. It won't go away. I feel the guilt of it day by day. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Now, that seems like a strange statement. When he says, I have sinned, against thee only have I sinned. Well, obviously, there are others deeply affected by his sin. Bathsheba was affected by it. Uriah was affected by it. He was put to death. David's family was affected by it. The nation was affected by it. But the point he's making is, the one whose law I have violated, the one whom I have deeply offended, the one who can forgive me is the Lord. And I am acknowledging that I have sinned against him. And I'm acknowledging that the Lord would be justified to do with me whatever he pleases. To be clear when he judged. I couldn't complain. I couldn't say that the penalty is too severe, whatever God did. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He's acknowledging his depravity, the fallen nature with which he was born, and the fact that it has now displayed itself in horrendous sin. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. The hyssop was a little bush that was used in the ceremonial service in olden time, dipped in blood and then used to sprinkle the blood. And so it says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord, the only way I can get rid of this guilt, the only way this sin can be addressed is that you will forgive me, that you will wash me. I can't cleanse myself, but when you wash me, I'll be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. All the terms used in these psalms are so vivid. Lord, the pain of guilt has been like the pain of a broken bone. You've broken my bones. Oh, Lord, make me to hear joy and gladness. Only the Lord can do that. You're talking about a desire for restoration. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. So you see, his desire was not just to be relieved of the guilt, not just to be rid of the pain that was plaguing him, but he wanted more. He wanted another step. He wanted not only to be forgiven and cleansed, he wanted the Lord to create in him a clean heart that he might serve him faithfully in days to come. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Yes, he no doubt felt that if God did cast him away, it was no more than he deserved. But he's saying, Lord, cast me not away. Verse 12, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. We're talking about the joy of restoration. And some might have looked at David's life in this dark day and considered that basically it's all over. But here's David in humility and sincerity praying, Lord, restore me. Didn't mean that he'd lost his salvation, but he certainly lost the joy of it. And when one is walking in sin, where there is no repentance, where there's no confession, there's certainly not going to be any joy. God's not going to bless you with the joy of salvation when you have turned away from him. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation and uphold within me thy free spirit. Isn't it good to know that God can take a life that has been eaten up by the locust of sin and bring about restoration? Verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. So if we're going to come before the Lord expressing our need, whether it's just one of those difficult trials that we're having trouble coping with, or if it's sin itself, that we have to come understanding that God is pleased to look upon a broken spirit and a contrite heart. As William Cooper so beautifully expressed the struggle we have when we feel to be apart from the Lord, the hymn goes on to say, when it speaks of a desire for restoration, return, O dove, return, sweet messenger of rest. I hate the sins that made me mourn and drove thee from my breast. The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. So shall my walk be close with God, calm and serene my frame. So pure light shall mark the road that leads me to the Lamb. So then we come to consider the joy of restoration. The blessings in that day of the prophet are described in Joel chapter 2, verse 18. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. even though judgment had come upon them because of their sin, but now because the Lord pities his people, it's going to be another day. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. You've been devastated, your crops were destroyed, but I'm going to send you corn and wine and oil, and you'll be satisfied therewith. Isn't it good to know that when the Lord restores us from a time of deep darkness and trouble, that we are then satisfied? So many today find little satisfaction in life because they're looking for it in the wrong places. But there is satisfaction with him. Now, there are a number of the references in this prophecy that are looking forward to the time of the Messiah and possibly even to a future date beyond it. And when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, came, he certainly brought satisfaction to those that came to believe on him. Then verse 21, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. That's good news, isn't it? When there has been trouble, when there's been an attack by these vicious insects, but now the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Here's just a complete turnaround from what's described in the first part of the book. Verse 23, be glad then, ye children of Zion. I remember we read earlier that their joy was withered. There was no joy. But now he says, be glad, rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. You're going to get the rain necessary to have a harvest, to have a successful crop. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And then the words of our text in verse 25. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the parrot worm, my great army which I set among you. I'm going to restore to you what you lost. Certainly not to bring back the years, but restore what you lost in those years. Where you have been devastated, I'm now going to supply what you need. And then we see the same joy on the part of David as he acknowledges sin, prayed for restoration. It then said in Psalm 51:13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Not only is he desiring restoration, but he desires to be restored that he might serve God. So because of my testimony, because of what I'm going to say about your goodness, grace, and mercy, there will be sinners converted unto thee. I've often been encouraged when I was counseling somebody who had been struggling with a great problem, and I knew they were making progress. And we got to the point that they would say, do you think that once I've really gotten my feet on the ground, and God, I believe he's already working, but when he's brought me to a stronger place, do you think I'll be able to help other people who might struggle with the same problem? I said, I certainly believe you can. And so part of our desire should be, when we've gone through dark and difficult times, that when we come into the light and our joy is restored, that we can minister to others. Comfort others with the same comfort wherewith we ourselves have been comforted of God. He said in verse 15, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. So that's another thing. When God delivers us, when God restores our joy, be sure our mouth is open and we're praising him and acknowledging his goodness and greatness, telling others about his love and mercy. And then the deliverance of one sinking in the mire. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. Now we read about the psalmist who was in the pit, sinking in deep mire, but here he says, he brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and trust in the Lord. So here's the desired end. Being delivered, I'm going to praise his name. He's put a new song in my mouth, praise unto our God, and many will see it. They will observe what God has done. They'll hear my song of praise and gratitude, and they shall fear and trust in the Lord. Now, indeed, that is restoration. Think about the restoration of Job. Job lost everything that he had. Looked very dark and bleak. His wife said, "Why don't you give up, curse God, and die? It's all over." Job had his dark days, his unanswered questions. But ultimately, in Job 42:10, it says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." I'm not saying that God is going to always do that, that every time there's a loss, God's going to give you twice as much at some future date. But he did it for Job. Job had lost everything, but God gave him twice as much as before. Oh, the joy of restoration. And then we think about the restorations brought about by Jesus. He read in the temple one day from Luke chapter 4:18. He was reading from the book of Isaiah. And the passage says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." All of this talks about restoration. Restoring the prisoner, restoring the brokenhearted. No doubt the first and primary meaning would be one that is brokenhearted with a sense of sin. One who might have been hard-hearted, but as the gospel has been preached, the Holy Spirit has applied it, and that self-righteous individual has come to see, "I am a great sinner, and I need a great Savior." His heart is broken, is contrite. He came to bind up broken hearts. Not only that, but hearts that are broken because of the calamities of life. And one feels like, "I can never be restored. I can never have joy again." He binds up broken hearts. God is called the God of all comfort. And certainly Jesus comforted many while he was here on the earth. A man approached Jesus and said, "My son is possessed of an evil spirit. It throws him down. It tosses him in the fire. I need help." And Jesus restored him. And that young man who had suffered much from an evil spirit was restored to a normal life. Jesus met with a man of an unclean spirit that was dwelling among the tombs. They had tried to bind him without success. And Jesus cast out the evil spirit and restored him. Jesus, the great restorer. Mark chapter 5, verse 15 says, "And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion," that is a legion of evil spirits. "They saw him sitting and clothed and in his right mind." That's what happens when the Lord restores somebody. Restores them to their right mind, and they were afraid. Isn't that strange? When they saw this work of restoration, this miracle of grace, they were afraid. Well, how good it is to know that while we can't literally call back the years of the past and change things that we might like to change, that things that have been lost and scenes that seem hopeless
can be rectified, because he is the great restorer. I will restore to you the years that the locust have eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmerworm, my great army, which I sent among you. If you today have a broken heart, an aching spirit, feeling like joy is lost, things have changed, so much is different, how can I ever have real joy again? Turn to our God, who is able to restore and give you the peace and joy and fellowship with him that you so much desire. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the truths of thy word. And as we read these words recorded by the prophet so many years ago, that you were promising to restore what had been lost by your chosen people during a time of devastation, we know that you're still able to bring about restoration. You can restore broken hearts. You can restore broken marriages. You can restore that sinner who is troubled even to the depth, as was David. Oh, how we pray thy blessings upon all today who may struggle, and may they find their strength and their hope in Jesus Christ, the great restorer. We pray in his name. Amen.
In the lifted rock I'm resting, safely sheltered I abide. There no foes nor storms molest me, while within the cleft I hide. Now I'm resting, sweetly resting, in the cleft was made for me. Jesus, blessed rock of ages, I will hide myself in thee.
Well, I'm glad that you've been with us today and hope the message has been a help to you as we read the biblical descriptions of the day of trouble, and then to go on and talk about the need of seeking God, and finally we've concluded with the joy of restoration. If you'd like to get a copy of this message on CD, you can request it when writing us. I encourage you to go to our website at baptistbiblehour.org. There are articles and other information there that I trust will be helpful to you. And if you like, you can make a donation there at the website. And now until the same time next week, may the Lord richly bless you all.
The Baptist Bible Hour has come to you under the direction of Elder Lasaire Bradley, Jr. Address all mail to the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. That's the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217.
Bye.